All right, so we're going to have something special today. Since today, actually next Wednesday, we are celebrating Ram Nomi, the glorious appearance day of Lord Ram. It's very ecstatic. So what we've decided to do is last Sunday, I spoke about Ram's ontological position. That means basically who he is, his identity. We spoke about the Valmiki story last week and some other stories. And this week we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the side stories connected with the Ramayana. And I'm actually, Ram Nomi, we're going to be giving class both in the morning for the normal Bhagavatam class time, and that's Wednesday, of course, and at 5 o'clock, which is my normal class time every day. So that particular day, we're going to talk specifically about Lord Ram's pastimes. And according to the tradition, on Ram Nomi, you're supposed to talk about Ram's appearance in the morning. And in the midday, you're supposed to talk about Sita Swayamvara. And in the evening, you talk about, you guessed it, the victory over Ravan. So that's actually the tradition, different times of the day. So anyway, today we're going to tell some of the side stories. And as I was telling the devotees earlier today in a different conference that we had, that actually some of my favorite stories are about Ravan. You know, demons are quite interesting. That's why Krishna comes down. One reason he comes down, because he likes to have interesting times fighting. You know, in the spiritual world, you got a lot of interesting times loving. But when Krishna comes down to the material world, the fighting becomes more pronounced. And especially the indirect ras called ghastliness can manifest itself to the highest degree in the material world. You're going to do the mudra for ghastliness? What's the mudra for ghastliness? Like that. So she's expert with mudras. They're able to see her. Why don't you zoom out so people can see me and see everybody? You see the dance. For this first part, later on they can just watch my material body. So Krishna comes down as Lord Ram to experience these different indirect rasas like anger, which is not experienced to the highest degree in the spiritual world, nor is ghastliness. I don't think ghastliness is experienced at all in the spiritual world. So because Krishna is Rasa Raj, and Ram is Rasa Raj, that means he's the king of tastes of relationship. The word rasa doesn't mean relationship, it means the taste of a relationship. You know, mellow, that's how the word the Prabhupada uses, the mellow of a relationship. So Krishna's dealing with that, and so therefore, the demons are also very tasty. It's not only Ram is very tasty, but the demons are very tasty. I mean, it's not just like an ordinary demon like some politician who should remain nameless. But it's like these are such interesting demons, and the history of the demons is just like, wow, enough to make me forget God. Anyway, so on that happy note, first we're going to chant. Normally, I would just be traditional and chant using cartels and everything like that. But on Ram Nomi and special occasions, we chant, especially Ram Nomi, we chant the Hanuman song about Sita and Ram, Lakshman. And so, no cartels, but mridanga's great with the guitar. So, should we start? And Champaka is going to do some mudras. What mudras are you going to do for us? Hanuman. Let's see the Hanuman mudra. Yeah, Hanuman mudra. Flying Hanuman. What about Sita? Okay, Sita's like that. Ram is like that. Okay, so you get an idea of what's going on when you see your dance. and I'll just be chanting. I don't dance very well, so it's not my cup of whatever, nectar drink. You can chant along, I mean, in response, obviously. Oh, Hanuman, 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 oh, Hanuman, Hanuman. Hanuman. Hanuman, no, Hanuman. Raghupati, Raghava Rajo Ram, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram. Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. You can clap. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dayo Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Dayo Ram. Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Hanuman, Hanuman, no, Hanuman, no, Hanuman. Hanuman, 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 oh Hanuman. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram, Patita Pavana Sita Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram, Shri Ram Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. day. Jai Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Ram Ji Ram Pati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Seta Ram Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Daya Ram Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Daya Ram Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Daya Ram Shri Ram Jaya Ram Jaya Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravidikacharya, Alstuteta, Satashi, Shimad, His Divine Grace, Sabaya, Chatanara Bhaktivananda, Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anandakoti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakuru Ki Jai, Brim se kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shyam Kund Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Maturidam Ki Jai Jagadatha Sami Ki Jai Yuvanamai Ki Jai Shrimati Lassi Devi Ki Jai Psalm of Heda Bhakti of Rindiki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Bhagavan Ramchandra Bhagavan Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Vudle, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamit, Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharni, Nivashesha Shunyavadi, Paschachate Shatarni. So, Om Ganat, Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Manitam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So today we are going to talk about some of the stories that surround the main story of the Ramayana. And what I was thinking, the last class, I'm also going to talk about the lessons. And I have a list of here are the lessons, but I'm not going to go over. There's 15 lessons that I have listed that we can learn as far as we're concerned, you know, to apply to ourselves based on the Ramayan story. But today, let's start with my old buddy, Robin. Robin means someone who makes people cry. Nice. So anyway, so let's start Robin's story. So this involves the traditional stories that you find in many of the Puranas, where there's a competition between the demons and the devas. There's, you know, traditionally you have all these stories. The 10th canto deals with that story, at least preliminary to the 10th canto. You have the 8th canto talking about how the devas and Lord Vishnu defeated the demons, and the demons took shelter on earth in king families, kingly families, kshatriya families. So there's a continual struggle for control amongst those two groups. And actually, they're half-brothers. That's good. Who's your brother? Well, he's a demon. Who's your brother? He's God. He's a god. So anyway, so you have Aditi and Diti. Diti's the mother of the Daitas, demons, so to speak. Of course, amongst the demons, there's some good guys, too. Not only, you know, we're talking about people like Bali, and, of course, Prahlad Maharaj, he was amongst the demons, too. But also, in the Ramayana, we have Vibhishan. So it's not that someone who's born in a certain family, they're just, like, condemned to be a demon. But still, they're in the demon family. That's their gotra. What's your gotra? Demon. So, but still, Dinahini Atachilo, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, even a demon can become a devotee. And by bad association, even a devotee can become a demon. Karnam Gunasangasha Sadasad Janmajonishu. This is what Bhagavad Gita says. The cause of our entanglement is Gunasanga. If you associate or have the wrong association, you can become demoniac. So, anyway, so let's talk about Ravan and his brothers and sister, his beautiful sister, Sarpanaka. So the demons, they were very worried because the devas, they were so powerful. And they thought, we got to have a hero. We have to elect someone who can actually help us conquer over the devas. But they're so powerful. They have brahminical power from the mode of goodness. And we just have, like, ignorant passion power. So what are we going to do? They thought, well, let's do some genetic engineering. That's not something new. We're going to cross. You know, like Luther Burbank, he crossed different plants and came up with different crossbreeds, hybrids. They're called hybrids. So anyway, so he said, they were thinking, let's cross a demon, great demon, with a Brahmin, powerful Brahmin. Okay, good idea, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, crossbreeding is there, you know. So they called for a very powerful demon lady, Kekasi. And she was not only powerful, she's also a little beautiful, too. I mean, demons can be beautiful. It's not only like you depict sometimes demons like they have teeth coming out like that. They're not always like that. I mean, some of them are great Hollywood, Bollywood stars. You can't judge someone by the cover. Sometimes, you know, if a man looks at a beautiful girl, he thinks she must be nice just because she's beautiful. I'll give you a practical example. When the demons had stolen the nectar, the Amrit, then Krishna appeared as Mohini Murti. That's quite beautiful. And she, of course, she wasn't demoniac. She had all good qualities. But there was one bad quality she had in relationship to the demon. She was going to cheat him. So she comes before the demons as Mohini Murti, Krishna as a lady. See, it's all right. Krishna appeared as a lady, and she just like smiles, and the demons become bewildered. And they say to her, "Can you divide the nectar fairly?" And she says, you can't really trust me. And they said, "No, we can trust you, because you are so beautiful." It's true. And what she did is she betrayed their trust. She took the nectar and gave it to the demigods. And of course, one of the demons, Rahu, happened to sneak in and get some of the nectar, but he sort of lost his head figuratively and literally lost his head in the process. So anyway, so the demons had this plan. They had learned from Mohini Murti. Actually, that's where they got the idea, from what Krishna did to them as Mohini Murti. He cheated them, because that was, anyway, so they learned from that. So anyway, so what happened is Kekasi goes up to this great Brahmin Vishravas. And Vishravas, he had a really good rich son. Does anyone know what his rich son's name was? Kuvera. So that's, you know, you have to have a son, and that's pretty good, isn't it? So Kuvera, he goes up to Vishravas, who had previously, and Vishravas was in his ashram. He was a Brahmin, and he had an ashram, and all sorts of nice brahmacharis there who were serving Guru Maharaj. And it's a true story. I was there. So they were serving their guru, and she goes up, and she, whatever she did, I don't know. She said, "Hi. I love you." It was like Sripanaka did to Ram. She said, "Hi." And he said, he understood, he was a powerful Brahmin, he understood she was a Rakshasa. She was a Rakshasa. And he said, "I can't really have anything to do with you." And she said, "You know, it's against the principles to reject someone who's in love with you. I will die without you." And he was trying to withstand and not give in to her wiles. You know what wiles means? Anyway, tricks. So not give in. And eventually he just says, "All right." And they have a relationship, married or whatever. And in the meantime, the brahmacharis are pretty upset their guru's married a rakshasini. You know, it's just not really the best thing for a guru to do. So the brahmacharis leave the poor guy alone. They leave. And then he's there with his new wife. And they proceed to have kids. So, you know, there's Robin, Kumbhakarna, Vibhishan, and Sripanaka. Okay. And so Robin comes out. I mean, he's the first. He's the eldest. And then there's Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan. And so all of them decide to execute austerities for different purposes. Because they're... Anyway, Robin's a Brahma... Let's go back a little bit in the story. Robin's a Brahma Rakshasa. So he has all the powers of a Brahmin and with a demoniac mentality. And he's been trained up, in addition, by his father, Vishravas, to recite Vedic mantras. And he becomes so expert that even the demigods, when they want to do a fire sacrifice, they call for him because he has the best pronunciation in the universe. He is very expert. Yeah, you know, he's a demon, but, you know, you could make the best use out of a bad bargain, you know. You know, sometimes we have to make a deal with the devil. So he becomes very expert, and then he and his brother and sister begin to execute austerities for different purposes. And they're executing austerities to Lord Brahma. And Ravan, as we know, as he's executing austerities, he starts to get a little impatient, and he starts to offer his heads. He's also known as Dasa Griva. Dasa Griva means 10 heads. And so he's cutting off his heads and offering swaha, swaha, swaha into the fire, and Lord Brahma comes. And basically, He says, what do you want? And, you know, and Lord Brahma, he comes for all four of them at the same time. So they all get different benedictions. So Lord Brahma says, what do you want to Robin? And Robin says, you know, I want to be immortality. And that's what usually what the demons ask for first, is immortality. And then there's a standard answer that Lord Brahma has memorized. Even I don't have immortality. So, you know, how can I give you immortality? But you can choose how you'll die or choose how you'll not die. And he said, basically, I want to be immune from the attacks of demigods, other rakshasas, powerful gandharvas and everything like that. And he doesn't really mention human beings because human beings are just like puny. I mean, like if I had to say I wanted immortality and I could choose whatever, what other animal would kill me, I'd pick an ant or something like that. I'm not getting... Ants can be dangerous, actually, especially in Brazil. There are army ants that march through villages and eat people as they go through villages in Brazil. So, but anyway, so I would just pick some insignificant creature, something like that. And then, but actually the type of benediction you get from Lord Brahma predicts how you're going to die. I like, there was this story in the Mahabharata of these two characters, Sunda and Upasunda, and they also got a benediction from Lord Brahma as to how they would die, and they said, we want, the only way that we would die or could die is that we would kill each other because they were both brothers and loved each other. So Lord Brahma made a plan. He created a beautiful girl called Tilottama, and he waited until they were good and drunk, sent her down, they fought each other and killed each other. So it's pretty cool. Or like Hiranyakashipu, not the daytime, not the nighttime, not inside, not outside, not by any weapon, like that. And then, of course, Krishna makes, he knows the fine print in the contract. So he doesn't mention human beings. Of course, he doesn't mention monkeys either, or lesser creatures like that. Then Kumbhakarna is quite interesting character. Kumbha, mean Karna, means like ears like a pot, pot ears. Not the type that people smoke, but it's like pots, you know, like clay pots, big ears. So Kumbhakarna has a voracious appetite, even more than Vrikodara, Bhimsen. And so he's eating so much, or capable of eating so much, there wouldn't be any food left in the universe for anybody. So he really wants to get the benediction of taking over Indra's throne. And so Lord Brahma says, you know, what would you like? And he tries to say, I would like the asana, Indra's asana, or the seat of Indra. And the goddess of learning actually bewilders him and causes him to say, Nidrasana. Like if you mispronounce a word, you just ask him, add an N in front of Indra, Nidra. Nidra Asana means the seat of sleep. In other words, I want a bed. I want to sleep. And Lord Brahma says, okay, you sleep forever. And Ravana becomes very upset that his brother has been blessed like this, and what he considers to be a curse. And then he goes to Lord Brahma and says, come on, you can't do this. You know, you're the lord of all the creatures. You have to be kind to your living entities like this. And Lord Brahma said, okay. So every 6 months he can wake up and eat. And if he's woken up prematurely, that's when he's going to die. So it was predicted the means or when he would die. And so we know later on, he was woken up by Ravan prematurely, and actually woken up. In the Ramayana, it describes how he was woken up, and it's quite an elaborate description of how they woke him up. They had elephants on top of him, you know, jumping on top of him, and drums playing in his ears, and a smell of flesh, sorry, around them and jugs of wine. And that's how they woke him up. So if you ever get someone really in ignorance in the temple, then, no, you shouldn't wake him up like that. They also had dancing girls, too. And so they woke him up, and then he was going to die shortly after that. But that's part of the other story, the Ramayana, the victory of Lord Ram. Then you go to Vibhishan. And Vibhishan, he simply says, I want to also always be ethical, moral, and devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Brahma gives him an interesting benediction. Apart from what he's asking for, he says, I bless you with immortality. Because Vibhishan has a spiritual body. He's an eternal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also his fame is immortal, too. So devotee's fame, it's always there. It's immortal. So he has immortality, even though he didn't ask for immortality. And so then the little baby sister is left. Sirpanaka, you know, one with long, like, curved nails. Sometimes ladies think that's very attractive. I remember one time I was taking a bus in Mexico, and right when we arrived there, this lady was sitting next to me, was going to meet her boyfriend, and she put her long nails on, about this long. And so I was thinking of Sirpanaka when I saw her. So Sirpanaka means long, like curved nails, just curved nails. So she didn't ask for nails. She asked for the ability to change her form at any time. Because she is quite hideous looking normally. Hideous means, I mean, she was quite ugly. So she had, four of them had these benedictions. Very nice. And Vibhishan, obviously, he's always chanting. And Kumbhakarna, he's always sleeping. So no problems with them. But the problem is with Ravan. So Ravan got these benedictions, and he thought, I'm going to show myself to be extremely powerful. Nobody can defeat me. And he was going around the universe challenging everybody. So one time he's flying around. And actually, his brother, as I mentioned before, is Kuvera. So he steals this Pushpaka Vimana. Wow, I don't have a... I forgot.
I don't have it.
Give me it. I got so ecstatic with the Ramayana, I forgot to put my mask on. Sorry about that. Actually, I violated the rules. I should wear a mask. Sometimes the Ramayana is one of my favorite subject matters, and I get so ecstatic I forget about... I'm lucky I put my dhoti on today. I was so ecstatic. I keep thinking about the Ramayana. So, you know, I just forget everything when I think about it. Because I study the Ramayana, I love Hanuman, and I have a deity of Hanuman on my altar and everything like that. So, and in Fiji we installed Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. And Mother Krishna Priya is not here right now. She actually did the installation for Sita Ram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. I did it for Radha and Krishna, and Leetha and Vishakha, and some other devotees did it for Shishi Gaura Nittai and Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So I've always had a great affinity for Hanuman, especially because Hanuman, the reason I started chanting the Hanuman song first is because you approach Ram through his devotees. Just like we approach Krishna through the spiritual master and, of course, Srimati Radharani. And so you approach Ram through Ram's greatest devotee. Now, if you approach Hanuman, you know that Ram will accept you. It's a fact. And if you approach Ram directly, who knows? He may just... And Hanuman taught us... This is a little side story. Oh, my God. Thinking there's so many stories. Hanuman actually taught us that Ram Nam is more powerful... or as powerful as Ram is. He was able to defeat Ram when he was protecting the king. I'm not going to get into that whole story now, but when he was chanting Ram Nam. So that's, you know, that's really important because that's the Yuga Dharma now. Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Ram Nam Sankirtan. can we chant Rob's name? Anyway, so let's get back to the story of Robin, which is much more important than the story of Rome. So Robin is going around with his push Bhagavimana. Incidentally, he also stole Lanka, too, from Kuvera. He drove Kuvera out of Lanka. And he took the Pushpaka Vimana. Kuvera didn't fight with him. He just, like, left. He just said, you know, this half-brother is too much for me. So there's no description that he actually fought Kuvera. But Kuvera gave in voluntarily. So Robin is going around. He's flying his Pushpaka Vimana. And he had many varieties of airplanes, as described in the Ramayana. The airplane that he actually kidnapped Sita with was a airplane pulled by donkeys with human heads. It wasn't the... He didn't use the Pushpaka to kidnap Sita, or Maya Sita, as the case may be. It was actually... Because it's described that Jatayu destroyed that airplane and also killed the donkeys with human heads. In the Ramayana, you find so many really specific, or, you know, picturesque descriptions of the demons that I've never heard anywhere else. Like, you have demons, some of the ladies that were harassing Sita Devi had heads growing out of their stomach. Has anyone read the Ramayana, read about that? Tulsi, I think you read the whole Valmiki Ramayana, too. Heads, can you imagine, like, a girl with a head coming out of her stomach? Where's she going to find a husband? It's just amazing the descriptions there in the Valmiki, and how poetic, too. I mean, how can you write poetry about a demoness that has her head coming out of her stomach or out of her rear end? But Valmiki's so expert, he's writing poetry about all these things. So, Robin is flying in his pushbook at this particular point. And then he's flying over a mountain, and he sees this girl, Vedavati. And Vedavati is an expansion of Sita Devi. She's actually an expansion of Sita Devi. And she's meditating to get Narayan as her husband. Because ultimately, she does get Narayan as her husband. She's actually the Maya Sita later on that gets kidnapped. And later on, she is the Bhu Devi who marries Venkateshwara in another whole story. So anyway, she's meditating. Narayan, Narayan, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Narayanaya. And Ravana sees her, and she's beautiful. He lands the Pushpaka Vimana, and he says, "Hi, I'm Ravana." And she says, I don't care who you are. I'm meditating to get Narayan as my husband." And he says, "You think so?" This is before Ravana got cursed. And we'll tell that story in a second. So he grabs her by the hair. And she, with her mystic power, she makes her hand like a knife. And she cuts the hair so she's disconnected from Ravana. But she says, "I've been violated and contaminated by you. So I am going to perform this mystic yoga practice." And she immolates herself. And she says, "I'm going to be born in your kingdom, and one day I'm going to be the cause of your death." And so then she disappears, and of course there's some stories that she, in the Valmiki reminded that she appears in a lotus flower near Lanka, and then Vibhishan throws her in the ocean, and later on she's taken by the ocean god to Bhumi and put in a little casket. And anyway, that's a story of the appearance of Sita, which we're not going to tell today. So Ravan does that. He makes one mistake. And then another time, he tries to rape. He does rape a lady. He rapes Ramba, who's one of the Heavenly Society girls. And she's also married. Her husband's name is Nalakuvara. Remember Nalakuvara from Manigriva and Nalakuvara? It's not Nalakuvara, as everyone mispronounces the word. It's Nalakuvara. So anyway, he rapes her, and then Nalakuvara curses him. He said, "If you ever force yourself upon a woman again, then that's it, you die." And so he respects, you know, curses he respects. He's brahminical. He understands the principle. And really, he doesn't have any problems with forcing himself upon women because he's really attractive. I was giving a class earlier today, or a seminar earlier today, and there were some ladies on there, and I was telling the ladies, I said, look, if Ravana ever came to you, you'd drop your husband like a hot potato. Because, you know, he's rich, strong. I mean, can you imagine? He's every girl's dream, right? Rich, strong, handsome. He has the marks of Aravata on him because, you know, he fought with Indra's elephant, you know, the puncture marks. And, you know, wow, you live in a palace, you can have anything you want, every night's a party. And, you know, you get anything, you get servants. Wow. That's why Ravan thought that Sita Devi was just going to give in to him like that, which every other woman basically did. Except for Sita Devi and Vedavati. I mean, I can't think of any woman who didn't give it. I mean, of course, Ramba, we mentioned before. So anyway, so Ravan was cursed like that. So then he sort of behaved himself. You could say behaving yourself is what he did. But he behaved himself with women a little bit better. And just kidnapped princesses and Brahmin ladies. And he had a whole harem. Later on it's described, I'm jumping from one part of the Ramayana to the other, that when Hanuman was looking for Sita Devi, he flew around the woman's ashram there, you know, the Brahmacharini ashram. And in the old English, it's called the gymnasium. It's interesting, G-Y-N, you know, like you have gynecology, you know, referring to women, the study of women. So the version of the Ramayana I read is the Gita Press version, which is Prabhupada is accurate. It's the translation, and I also have the original Sanskrit too, of it. And so he flew around. Hanuman was flying around. As he was flying around the woman's ashram, and all the women were like, basically not clothed very well. And Hanuman was thinking, I'm a brahmachari. What the heck am I doing here? You know, what? And then he remembered, I'm doing Ram's service. He was never disturbed because he was absorbed in the service of Ram. So he's an eternal brahmachari. And at one point, he actually thought that he found Sita when he saw this giant bed, and there was Ravan lying there with this beautiful girl, and they thought he saw it Sita. He found Sita there. And he actually started to kiss his tail. On his tail, like a monkey does, you know. Thinking that, wow, I'm victorious. But then he understood Sita would never be lying there next to Ravan. And there was Mandodari, who was next to Ravan. So, anyway, getting back to the story. So Ravan was cursed. He couldn't touch a woman without her permission, which I mentioned before was not a problem. So Ravan had several different plans. He thought, first of all, I'm going to show Lord Shiva how powerful I am. So he flies the Pushpaka Vimana to Mount Kailash. But then he has an engine failure. Doesn't say engine failure. But the thing just doesn't go any further. It can't. You know, it's powerful, but it can't enter Kailash unless Lord Shiva wants it to. So it just lands. So Ravan is thinking, I got to walk the rest of the way. So he walks into the entrance of Kailash, and there is Nandi. And he's guarding it. He's guarding Mount Kailash. And Ravan starts laughing at him. You know, he's a very proud person. Because he's handsome, rich, and everything like Janmaishwarya Shrutashashibiraitamana Adapaman. And he starts laughing at Nandi. And Nandi says, I curse you. He even says to Nandi, do you look like a monkey? And Nandi says, I curse you, you're going to die because of a monkey. Ravan doesn't pay much attention to that. You know, monkey, how's a monkey going to hurt me? So then he goes further into Kailash, and he says, I'm going to show Lord Shiva my strength. He picks up Mount Kailash. He's really strong. And Parvati gets scared, you know, because the whole place starts tilting like an earthquake. And she grabs Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva understands what's happening. He puts his little toe down, and he traps Ravan's arms under Mount Kailash. So Ravan, he can't move, you know, and he doesn't know what to do. And he also gets cursed by Parvati in the meantime that he's going to be killed because of a woman. And so he's thinking, boy, this Lord Shiva, he's powerful. And so what he does is he says, when in doubt, you glorify the person who's captured you. So he starts singing songs in glorification of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva becomes very, very pleased. And he actually gives him his trident, Trishira, as a weapon. So he's a great devotee of Lord Shiva. Great, and Lord Shiva, of course, is what? Ashutosh. He's easily pleased, easily angered. So, and sometimes you even find Krishna warning Lord Shiva, you know, don't give these benedictions to these demons so easily. Especially after that story of Vrikasura story. Krishna says that, you know, what are you doing, you know? Krishna even had to make himself look like a Lord Shiva Bhakta in order to defeat this Vrikasura, to get this Vrikasura to touch his own head and make his own head split in 1,000 pieces. So then Ravan becomes further empowered. Ha-ha! I have all this weapons. I please Lord Shiva and everything like that. And then he thinks, well, now the only thing left for me to do is conquer death. And so who's in charge of death? Anyone know? Yamaraj. So he goes to Yamaraj's lobe. The description there is quite interesting. Some of you may have not heard this before. Uh-oh. What happened? So he goes to Yamaloka, but before he meets Yamaraj, he sees all these souls being tortured by the Yamadutas. So they're all going, ah, don't squeeze me in the sugarcane press. Don't throw me off the mountain. Ah. And the Yamadutas are going, and you know, and so Ravana has a little tinge of compassion. He starts beating the Yamadutas. Has anyone read this before? Yeah, he starts beating the Yamadutas in there. And all these sinful souls are thinking, phew. Ravan ki jai, Ravan ki jai. And finally Yamaraj catches wind of what's happening and starts to fight with him. And so they're having this big fight. Big fight, and so many weapons are being exchanged. Finally, Yamaraj brings out the Yama Danda, means the ultimate weapon of death. And then Yamaraj hears the voice, it's probably Lord Brahma. It is Lord Brahma. And he hears the voice that, no, you cannot make my benediction come false. And so Yamaraj, he says, all right, disappears, leaves the scene, and Ravan is saying, I have defeated death. That's why he goes through his whole litany all the time. I have defeated death. I have defeated death. Like I'm the king of the universe. And so he's thinking, I'm immortal. It doesn't matter what Lord Brahma said. So, but he does get defeated certain times. One time he gets defeated is because he's bathing in the Narmada River. And Kartavirya Arjuna, which has 1,000 arms, he's causing the river to flow backwards. And Ravan challenges Kartavirya Arjuna. And they have a fight, and Kartavirya Arjuna wins. He captures Ravan, puts him in jail. And so Ravan, being intelligent, makes a deal with Kartavirya Arjuna, you know, be my friend. So that's one thing that happens. Another time was even more embarrassing, because you have Bali, who is, you know, he's a monkey, but he's a big monkey. He's a big monkey, and I don't know if you ever had friends with monkeys, made friends with monkeys. They do happen to smell, particularly certain areas of their body. So what happens is he tries to sneak up upon Bali, and Bali sees him in the back, grabs him, puts him under his armpit, and he flies with it. I mean, that's a, if you have to be with a monkey, that's the worst place. I mean, I can think of worse places to be, but anyway, that's one of the worst places. And he flies with Robin, and Robin is kicking and screaming like that in the armpit. And he flies with him all as Bali's going to all these different holy places, because every day Bali would visit the different holy places he could fly through the air. And so poor Ravana, he's trapped there. Finally, he makes a deal with Bali. Okay, let's be friends. So he makes friends with Bali. That's why Bali couldn't help Ram in his fight against Ravana. It was impossible. So you have that whole story. All right, so that's the background with Ravana. Now let's talk about the background with Bali and Sugriva, because I got a lot of background stories. So Bali and Sugriva were half brothers, and let's describe how they were half brothers, okay? So once upon a time, some of you may have heard this story before, once upon a time, Aruna, the chariot driver of the sun god, Vivaswan, was driving the chariot. But then the chariot stalled one time. You know, even he has problems with the chariot. The reason it stalled is because there was a lady on the earth planet who stopped the sun from rising. Why did she stop the sun from rising? Because her husband was cursed by Markandeya Rishi to die before the rising of the sun the next day. So she said, the sun's not rising. And therefore, she was able to save her husband. Eventually, she let the sun rise. But during the time when the sun didn't rise, the sun, I guess the heavens stopped functioning or something, there was a vacation for the sun god. And so sun god says to Aruna, you can take time off with pay. And so Aruna, this is a little racy story. I don't know if it's proper for children to hear it. But anyway, so Aruna, he decides to go see the dancing girls in Indra's assembly. I mean, just like if I had time off, I'd probably go to Broadway to see some show or something like that. So he decides to go to see the dancing girls, but they won't let him in because he's not really up there with the rest of the guys, you know, the demigods up there. And they say, you can't come in. So he thinks, how can I get in and see those dancing girls? And he thinks, well, if I become a dancing girl, they'll let me in. So he, anyway, does a, you understand, a change. Gender fluid, as they say nowadays. And so he does a change and becomes Aruni. And he goes in, and not only does he go in, he just says that I'm one of the girls, I'm a little late for the dance. And Champaka trained me up, you know, and late for the you know, Indian standard time. So anyway, so she comes in. He or she comes in, and Indra sees her, and he says, wow, intermission. I have to talk with this new girl, you know, to see if she's qualified. So he has a relationship with this girl, and the child was born, that's Bali. So Bali's the son of Indra. Not Bali Maharaj, it's Bali the monkey. So then he goes back to the sun god. The sun god says, where were you? And he says to the sun god, you don't want to know. And anytime you say that to someone, I mean, if you really want them to just like beg you or harass you until you tell them, you'll say, I can't tell you. It's really frustrating. So the sun god says, no, tell me. And Aruna says, no, I can't tell you. And the sun god says, I'm your boss. You got to tell me. And then Aruna says, all right, here's the story. And the sun god says, I'd like to see that form. And Aruna says, I don't think so. You wouldn't like to see that. So Aruna, you know, eventually he's persuaded, transforms himself back into Aruni. And then Sugriva is born. This is a story. I mean, I make these stories up. They're so fantastic. I mean, everybody has an unusual birth in the Ramayana, basically. So, okay, so all those things are happening. So that's a little bit of the background. So let us get to the birth of Lord Brahma. Actually, there's a story of Viswamitra, which I'm not going to tell right now, because that's actually a whole class in and of himself, in and of itself. So let's talk about Ram's appearance. You know, the story of Ram's appearance. So you have Dasarath. Dasarath means, Dasarath is Ram's father, of course. And Dasarath means someone who can fight in 10 different directions at once. That's why it's called Dasarath. And I'm trying to think of it. Yeah. So Dasarath is married, has three wives, Kaushalya, Kaikeyi, and Sumitra, and he has no sons. But he's had a daughter. Did you know that? And he gives the daughter away to another king, because this other king didn't have a daughter. The king wanted a daughter. The king's name was Romapad. Not the sannyasi in our movement, Romapad Maharaj, but his name was Romapad, which means the man, the king with hairy feet. All these names are really interesting, actually. Dasarath, 10 directions, king with hairy feet. So, what was the daughter's name again? What? Shanti, yeah. Yeah, because he wasn't Shanti, he wasn't peaceful because he didn't have a son. All right, so Dasarath is thinking, I really want a son. And he's thinking, well, maybe I should do an Ashwamedha sacrifice to have a son. But then he has this prime minister named Sumantra. And Sumantra realizes that the four Kumaras previously, they had predicted that instead of a Ashwamedha sacrifice, he would do a Putra Kameshti sacrifice. That means a sacrifice to have a son. But the sacrifice had to be done by someone who had never seen a woman his whole life. That's a pretty hard thing. I mean, you never saw your mother, never saw any other lady your whole life. Maybe if you were in this place called Mount Athos in Greece, you can look it up on your internet later on. It's like that. It's illegal for a woman to go to this place. They even don't have female cows or anything. It's called Mount Athos. Look it up. It's really interesting. Really interesting. We had a number of brahmacharis who went there. So so what happens is that, so he needs someone who has never seen a woman his whole life. So who is that? And that person is named Rishi Sringa. Now, there's an interesting story about Rishi Sringa, because at this particular juncture, Rishi Sringa, after so many years, married Romapad's daughter, who is Shanti, who is actually Dasarath's daughter. But for the initial period of his life, he never saw a lady. So Rishi Sringa, history is very interesting. He was, what's his father's name again? I forget. Starts with a K. Anyway, it doesn't matter what his father's name was. He was a sage in the forest, and his father didn't like women very much. Why did his father like women? Well, a variety of reasons. He wanted to stay brahmachari. That helps. And another reason is that there was this demigoddess who was sent down by Indra to lure him away from his austerities. Because Indra, whenever he discovers a sage performing austerities, he thinks the sage is performing austerities to take away the heavenly planets, to become the king of the heavenly planets. So he sends down this beautiful apsara, and this beautiful apsara goes to this gentleman in the forest, and she says, "Hey, I want to get married to you." And he says, "No." And she says, "Unless you give me a child, I'm going to kill myself, and I'm going to kill myself, and you're going to be responsible for my death." So he's thinking, "What am I going to do?" So then he actually takes out some of his genetic material and gives it to her, says, "All right, you can use it to have a child, but this is not really what she wants. She wants to deviate him from his spiritual practices." So instead, she actually gives that genetic material to a deer. And the deer gives birth to a human being with like a deer horn on his head. That's why he's called Rishi Sringa. And so his father, the sage, I forget the name of right now, is trying to protect him from ever seeing a woman. Again, he has this issue with women, real issue with women. He's trying to protect them. So basically, his father won't allow any female animals even in the forest. Probably means no animals. Because without the female animals, how are you going to have male animals? But anyway, somehow or other, his father was able to accomplish that. So he doesn't know anything about two genders. He just thinks, you know, we're all alike. So King Romapad has a problem. Remember, King Romapad has Shanti, who is Dasarath's daughter. So he has a problem because he has a drought in his kingdom because there was a Brahmin who was offended. And so the only way to cure that drought is to have Rishi Sringa come to his kingdom. But how is he going to get Rishi Sringa to come to his kingdom? Because Rishi Sringa's father is not going to allow it. So what he does is he calls for all the beautiful girls again and says, the courtesans, as described in the Ramayana, and he says, "Who can do this job?" And one beautiful girl says, "I can, but just give me a lot of money." And she constructs a floating ashram on the river, you know, with palm trees and beautiful hula girls and everything like that on the river. And they float down to where Rishi Sringa and his father have their ashram. And this beautiful girl is just waiting outside until Rishi Sringa's father goes away. And the father goes for a little trip. She goes in to see Rishi Sringa. He doesn't know it's a girl. And he says, "Please accept my obeisances." And she says, "Well, in my country, we offer obeisances like this, alingana." Alingana means a hug. And he's thinking, what a good-looking brahmachari this is. Because he doesn't know the difference, and he feels like symptoms in his body like romancha, kampas, ruta, rangavajo, you know, the hair stand on end. And he's, wow, what a great brahmachari. Just stay around here, meet my father. Father starts to come back, she runs away. The father sees his son like all like goofy. And he's thinking, what's wrong? And then he sort of intuits what's happening with his son. And then the father's on a lookout. And so a few days later, the girl comes back, takes him away, come out, come to my country. And they float down the river back to Romapad's kingdom. And so then they get married. And the father is really angry. So he goes there with the intention of cursing the king. But on the way, King Romapad, being very intelligent, understands that the kingdom will be introduced by every single person whom this father runs into as the kingdom of Rishi Sringa. So it's his son's kingdom now. So the father's not going to curse his son's kingdom. So, but he arranges a deal that as soon as Rishi Sringa has a kid, he goes back with the father in the forest. But in the meantime, so then Dasarath calls for Rishi Sringa. Actually, it's time to end. It's time. It calls for Rishi Sringa, and Rishi Sringa performs this pushta. Putra Kameshti ceremony. And we'll start with that next time. And he produces some kheer. That's how they actually have sons, and they produce some kheer. And the lady drinks the kheer, and she has a son. It's really nice. And there's that story in the Mahabharata where the lady didn't show up, and the brahmanas had the son without the wife. Does anyone know what story I'm talking about? What? Who? Dristadunya and Draupadi. The brahmanas got so upset because the wife of Drupada was supposed to show up. You know, the brahmana said, go get your wife. It's time for the sacrifice. And she said, I'm just decorating myself, putting my earrings on. And he told the brahmanas, she's just now coming. And they said, no, boom, we'll do it without her. And out of the fire comes Drishtadunya and Draupadi. So many nice stories. So anyway, so we'll continue on Wednesday, which is the actual day of Ram Nomi. So thank you very much. I think that's all we have time for today. What? Yubandhaka is the Brahmin's name, right? Yubandhaka. Yubandhaka was the Brahmin's name, yeah, who had an issue with ladies. Thank you for remembering that. Tulsi studies the Ramayana too, and she has a photographic memory, unlike me. So, any questions or comments about anything? Yeah. 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 You just did it. You just did it. You said, how can he end up chanting by Maramam Ram Ram? You just answered your own question. Try chanting Mara a few times. What does it sound like to you? What sounds like Ram, what looks like Ram, is Ram. Because he became more pious, Namabhas chanting. That's described. Just like if you go, there's a hotel chain called Ramada Inn. And if you go spend enough nights there, you'll become pious. Just go speak to the Hotel Motel Patels, who own the Ramada Inn. Or, if you happen to speak a little Arabic, and you see a pig attacking you, and you go, haram, haram. Because that's what happened. That's our experience in preaching Krishna consciousness, is we go out and we get people to chant the holy names, and then they become purified to the point where they actually want to chant the holy names. What happened with me, I was a Rakshasa before, believe it or not, and I was listening to the radio, trying to hear some Rakshasa music. Mara, Mara, you know. And all of a sudden on the radio, this alternative radio station, they were playing Prabhupada. All of a sudden I heard, Hare Krishna, you know, I can't imitate Prabhupada. And then, boom, I'm a devotee of Krishna. Shave my hair off. No, it didn't happen that fast. But it was the beginning. Brahmanda Brahmate Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. It's the beginning of devotional service. Right? It's called Namabhas Chani. So I actually got... That's what happened with Valmiki. He had the beginning of his devotional service by chanting the name Ram and following the order of his gurus, who are the Sapta Rishis. That's the story in the Ramayana, it's the Sapta Rishi. I know in the Tulsidas Ramayana it's a little bit different story, but in the Valmiki Ramayana it's the Sapta Rishis who told him to do that. And he chanted the names of Ram. So that's the point, is somehow or other get people to chant the name of Ram. Even if you have to trick. Just like Prabhupada was very pleased, even when there was an article in the newspaper criticizing us, because they said, those Hare Krishnas, they're rascals. They always chant Hare Krishna. They never stop chanting Hare Krishna. We want them to stop chanting Hare Krishna, but they never stop chanting Hare Krishna. Or like when Gadadhar Das, not Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, went before the Kazi and said to the Kazi, you know the story, he said, chant Hare Krishna. And the Kazi said, tomorrow I will chant Hare Krishna. And Gadadhar Das said, why wait till tomorrow? You just did it, baby. You know, you're ready. So that's the point. Somehow or other, by hook or by crook, get people to chant the Lord's holy names. And the Lord's holy names are potent. When I used to go to the university to preach to people at the university, I would give people beads and say, just chant one round. You don't have to believe in this. Come back tomorrow and tell me how you feel. And they take the beads, because the holy names themselves have the potency to change people. You don't have to convince people. The holy names will convince people because they're potent. Namachintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigra, Punashuddha Nitya Mukto, Binatvam Namanamino. Just get them a chance somehow or other, and then they'll become one of you. Isn't it? That's all you got to do. Like George Harrison in his what? My Sweet Lord. You really got to see you, Lord. It takes so long, I know. Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada's record made so many devotees because it's the pure chanting, the Shuddha Nam, the holy name of the Lord. So that's why it worked. Mara, mara, yeah. Mara, mara, mam, ram, ram. I can't keep myself from chanting ram every time I say mara, mara, mam, ram, 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 ram. Right? So now you understand. Because he couldn't chant Ram's name, it was just too much for him. Just like when I first joined the movement, my mother couldn't say the name of Krishna. So we have one devotee here in the temple, she's not here right now, she's probably watching, Krishna Priya. So she could never say, how is Krishna Priya doing? She'd always say, how is Priya doing? How is Priya doing? I said, Mom, can you say Krishna? No, Priya. And finally, after 200 years of doing a little service, her son praying, you know, please let my mother say Krishna. Please, my dear Lord, let her say Krishna at least once. Then she began to say Krishna. And then, what was it, about 6 months ago, I was talking to her on the phone. She said, no, son, I have something to reveal to you. I'm a Hare Krishna. And then I Tulsi heard her say it. And then I said to her, you know, Mom, I have something revealed too. I'm also Hare Krishna. She said, you know, she has a little senility. And she said, really? You're Hare Krishna too? I didn't know that. And she even told my brother, who is a complete materialist, he's like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha rolled into one. She told my brother, she had the courage to tell my brother that she was a Hare Krishna. So my poor brother is sitting there, what have you done to our mother? You know, it's bad enough I lost you. Yeah, I'm the older brother. He's Jotabai. So anyway, and now I've lost my mother to Krishna consciousness too. So it works. Like Prabhupada said, in like a pin, out like a plow, okay? So I think we have to end now. We have a feast, and we'd like to welcome Aditya Narayan Prabhu back. He was in Vrindavan getting the blessings of Radhasham Sundar, and he's so nice to have you back. Now I know everything will go well. Okay, so on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Jai. Ramchandra Bhagawan Ki Jai. Actually, I only got to the first page of all my notes. Oh my God, I have like 30 pages of notes.